Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflakes, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners, and movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. Sorry, this show will include spoilers. You've been warned, but it's been, what, over 30 years easily, yeah. So you've had plenty of time, and you still do. Anyway, my name is Linda. And I am proud to announce our first sponsor. It's the fat of an unborn or an unbaptized child potion. That's right. I'm flying with the fat of an unbaptized child potion.
Male.
Ask your local.
Male.
Yes, remember, thank you. Male yes. Child.
Male.
But you don't need to know the ingredients. All you need to know is that you could go to your local dark witch and ask for it by name. And remember to use the code BROOMFLICKS for 5% off your first order. That's right. I'm flying and you can be too.
We're just going to let that one linger for a bit. We'll let that one simmer.
Just let it soak.
Let it breathe. I'm Jane, and I am right now decked out in the most vibrant neons and polyesters you could possibly find.
Oh, Jesus.
Everything she shoved in that suitcase, I was like, Jesus Christ.
And a lamp. Don't forget a lamp.
Yes.
So we have a special guest with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I am he of empty crib and stillborn foal. I am he whose coming the stars hath foretold. I am he with heart forged by blackest coal. I am he who makest whole the glorious goal of Satan's unborn soul!
Hi.
Best intro ever.
You could call him Donnie. Or Don Don for short.
God damn it.
Wow, now I know that one.
He's a witch. But even though men can't be witches.
Men can be witches too.
He's very progressive, you know.
He really was.
Oh yeah. So anyway, unfortunately, you know, we had the very, very sad news that we just lost another national treasure. Well, we didn't just lose him. Unfortunately, he's been missing for months.
Five months. It was January he went missing while hiking in like the Mount Baldy area.
So, right around his birthday.
Yeah.
In the Baldy Bowl, which sounds like it should be like,
yeah.
I don't know. It sounds kind of like a character. I don't know.
And honestly, when you were about to say national treasure, I kind of think that still fits him.
Yeah,
man had some really good lashes. Yeah.
He has some pretty good eyelash definition here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. He was a lovely, lovely man. But yes, unfortunately, just this week, they discovered that some remains that were found were those of Julian Sands. Julian Sands, RIP. I absolutely loved him and thought that he was a gorgeous, gorgeous man. Oh, so yes. we figured we would pay our respects because he was a warlock.
Speaking of, when they found his remains, did the skull turn around and the eyes catch fire and him go, did they stomp his skull?
But then the hiker who found the remains just stomped on it. So like, yeah. That's what took so long in identifying the
unidentified hiker, simply known as Redfern.
No, it's Giles. Giles is a perfectly respectable name, remember?
Yeah. as long as he's singing.
Reaction, by the way. I was like, I don't think that's what he's reacting to. I think he's spoiled his name.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't think that's the problem, honey.
You're missing the point.
But yeah, I mean, maybe it was like in real life, Richard E. Grant who found him.
Yeah.
It's like he's been looking for him for a while.
At last, we play this game one more time.
But yeah, we're covering Warlock, which also, besides the wonderful Julian Sands, it also featured Richard E. Grant, also yes. whom I fucking love. Mm-hmm. And I had such a huge crush on both of them when I was younger and this came out.
Indeed.
So out of curiosity mm-hmm. to understand the Roberts family, mm-hmm. how old were you when you guys saw this movie?
I was 11 or 12 and Linda was 10 or 11 because this came out in 92, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was 12 then.
It's strange because actually it was released in Europe in 1989, excuse me. But for some reason, it was a couple years before it was released here, which I think mm-hmm. was actually released in 91.
Okay. But he was young and
yeah. I'm just curious because
we were babies
of the two movies that we have discussed as a threesome here. I prefer this one to Teen Witch on
I mean
multitude
nobody's
of levels.
I mean me as well, because I can safely say this movie was one that when I watched, even then and still now, I'm like, you know what? Men are pretty attractive too.
Yes.
Julian Sands, that's a man I can get behind. He's a nice looking guy.
You think you get behind him?
All right, fine. He can get behind me.
Yeah, let's be real here.
I was just curious because, you know, you so far the two of you have somehow introduced me to two movies. I'd never seen this movie before, and it was I appreciate this one a bit more. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, do you appreciate it more?
There was
in
nobody
the vein?
Breaking into singing about how much they like boys, and the main there could female have been, lead though. Was only so annoying.
I mean, her roommate could have started and he could have joined in. You never know.
He could start, but he would have actually carried it away. Yeah. That guy was lovely.
But do you prefer this?
The roommate Chaz was like the epitome of like stereotypical gay roommate.
He was a Scorpio, or he was.
Late
80s. Huh? He's a Scorpio, or he was. Yeah. But I was going to ask, do you prefer this over Teen Witch, or do you prefer this over The Worst Witch?
Oh, come on now. That's not fair.
Those are two movies we did introduce each other to.
Look, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. This was the most palatable of the three we're discussing, but I can never get over my love of Tim Curry, as ridiculous as that song is, and how I'm pretty sure at one point they dropped acid while writing the lyrics. Yeah. It's still an amazing song. Teen Witch is something where I have actually gone to my work when I've discussed the podcast that I do, and I explained how awful that movie was, how insane and ludicrous Teen Witch was, and how I can't wait for us to cover Vampire Diaries, because dear God, we are going to talk about the Stephen Damon and Elena love triangle in between Bonnie's witchery, because God damn it, at least they don't break out into a fucking song in the bathroom. There is no singing in Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries.
Oh, I've got a split. I've got another gig.
Oh,
you can't use that forever.
Yes, we can.
No, we can't. But
you know, I have to say that Warlock 2, we're not talking about it today, but Donnie got me watching it because he said that he gave me some important information about it, and I decided to research it.
Yes.
So how much can you see?
Everything.
Everything.
Oh. Every dangly and, bit.
Like one of those everythings where once you got the HD version, you could actually like see a bit better, or this was like literally you can see everything.
No, because he's covered in this like black goo. So
demon butter.
Yeah. So I had to watch this for research, right? And, you know, because once Donnie told me that you see everything, I was just like, well.
You got to confirm. I know.
I understand science.
Yeah, science. You have to do double blind studies and everything. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I discovered something very important. It was a very huge eureka moment. Apparently, I have a thing not for guys in black goo, but specifically Julian Sands naked in black goo.
Calling the woman mother as he's walking naked to her.
Yeah. It's a very niche kink. But, hey, don't yuck my yum, man.
I
just want you to go to Carlo and explain this kink. And
I did.
Like, so you want me to put this black goo on? Why?
I
did explain it to Carlo, and I had to thank him for loving me despite my eccentricities. He accepts me for who I am. So anyway, we watched Warlock.
Mm-hmm. Yes, some of us more intently than the others.
Science!
Oh, come on. You knew this was this is the best version of a man flying since Superman.
Okay, I just talk about that one flying scene? It reminded me of the flying scene in Muppet Christmas Carol, where you got to remember that scene. It's where, you know, Scrooge is flying into the past and Gonzo, you know, grapple hooks onto Scrooge's robe and they go flying on a rope. Like as Redfern was like being dragged, all I could hear in my head was, "Rizzo, look down. It's beautiful." I was just start giggling to myself.
Oh, yes. And Warlock had the best special effects that the late 80s had to offer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
But one thing, because I watched this with Carlo last night, and he could not get over her hair.
Yeah. What about the psychic?
What the hell's
going on? What about the psychic's shoulders? Those were some serious shoulder pads.
I mean, are you talking about just how big it was when she was in her 20s or just how like long it grew as she did the aging thing?
Well, I mean, like it's all
Yeah, that too.
No, when she's in her 20s, like just her I guess hair as it's supposed to be.
Yes.
It was just like a bad wig.
My hair does that if it gets that short. Actually, my hair will poof out like that if it gets that short, because my hair is so thick that in order to get to lay a little bit flatter, it is as long as it is.
Yeah.
Does that too, because my hair is frizzy as hell, and like it like the less weight it has on it, it gets like frizzy and curly. But I don't know her, there was something going on with her hair. I don't know. I can't speak for Carlo.
Well, even like when she woke up after aging 20 years, the bottom of her hair, you could see was dyed a different color still.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think it was growing her hair growing out, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
It was a weird idea of discussing aging instead of just letting her hair be the length that it is. It's like, oh no, everything also has to grow.
Yeah, and it didn't happen again after that either.
As if you didn't cut your nails for 20 years. And I'm like, no, that's not 20 years of nail growth. That's
yeah, she's going to need some Manscaped, because if her hair grew like that on her hair, I mean, damn. But no, this is a special movie. Just even like this was like in a transitional period for horror films, where it's like they started getting more of we need to cut back on the violence. So you get more blood because blood is okay, but they don't really show a lot of gore and stuff like that. And even the music was getting a bit more away from orchestral music and more toward like digital. And it's what happened about the time when they made Phantasm 3, I want to say.
Shit, yeah.
It's like the end of the 80s into the first 4 or 5 years of the 90s. It was just a very, very bad time for most horror films. But this music was pretty, it was fun. It was really fun. It had a nice little beat.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And it was, yeah, it's... I like you were saying, not a lot of violence except for like the implied.
Yeah.
And I think there were a lot of people in the first kill where he deep tongues the roommate Chaz and bites his tongue out. I bet there were a lot of people thinking, I got to get into acting.
Yeah.
And I, something about
I
this.
Still kind of wish they explained why he wanted his scorpion ring so bad. I mean, it looks really cool, but
he was wearing it later. Maybe yeah, he just but what was wants the to point be styling a profile one.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, is he just
he's
like
a stylish guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's already stylish without it.
Exactly. And he
wanted to get a little tiny drip? Bit of action, a little taste. You know?
Like, I wish to procure some of your drip. I mean, it's just, you know.
You got that bussy going on.
Can you pop that bussy? Oh, my God.
Like, I may be a witch, but that's pure magic.
Yeah. It's like, because I kind of expect it to be tied to, they were kind of hinting at that the roommate, I'm guessing that was his, no, that's her home, but he seemed to fill the place with a lot of old furniture and such.
No, it was his place. Yeah, he took her in.
Okay, because the way she was putting it.
He even says that when he falls through the window. It's like, oh, well, you took me in, or I took you in and stuff. He says
okay.
Yeah, which again, I was like, were the 80s this trusting? Did I miss something in the 80s?
Because that's the only thing I could come up with like the ring is maybe it's ancient and he had some magical thing behind it. And
no,
like,
I honestly think it was just like something they do in Warlock 2. In Warlock 2, they have him run over a bunny for no good reason except to just say, this guy is a dick.
Speaking of animals, okay, can I start out by saying in my mind the first villains were the people about to kill him because they put a cat in a box alive. You know, it's like, oh, we will do this with burning live cats. Like, so you guys are the baddies.
Him over a basket of live kittens.
That made me. I was like, oh man, I want to be the villager carrying a basket of cats.
And then when you saw the pot of pyre?
Yeah, and then like when they said what it was for, when they said it was for, I'm like, why not chickens? It's like, why not puppies?
In the back,
he
literally sets it on top of the pyre with the noose above it. Like you see him put it on there. I'm like, well, I know who I'm rooting for now.
Yeah, but it's like, I want to be that person in the village that's like, oh, we're going to be burning a witch today. Here's your fresh puppies. I was like, come on, I got a whole basket of puppies.
Well, I mean, like you were saying, though, why not chickens? Yeah. I mean, after that, you can have a big barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, we learned this in Drag Me to Hell. Demons don't like cats. They're like, we don't want your little cat sacrifices. True. We love cats.
Do you know that was my turning point in Drag Me to Hell towards the female kid? Like, first I was feeling, like, really bad because it's like, what? She was literally doing her job and some, like, you know, bitch basically curses her because it's like... the stupidest reason to curse somebody, and then she murders her kitchen. I'm like, never mind, fuck her, go to hell. Like, that was my entire time. I was like, I don't care anymore. She can burn. Poor kitten.
It still makes me laugh to this day. It's like, what if she talked to the psychic? She's like, yeah, I killed my pet cat. He's like, what the fuck? I could have given you like a goat. We have goats. I could have got you a chicken. Why'd you kill a cat?
Here's a goldfish. You know how easy they fucking die half the time?
Go to the back freaking garbage at Petco and get a betta fish. Just take that and sacrifice it.
Well, and you know, unfortunately, burning supposed witches above a basket of live cats was something that they did.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's not even that. There's, God, I'll have to find it later, but there was, I can't remember which European country had this or which European town had this, but there was like a festival where they literally tortured cats.
Yeah.
I'd have to find the town so I don't completely do a whole slander libel thing at the same time. But, but yeah, I remember reading that going like, oh, God. But yeah, no, it's... yeah, I was kind of rooting for the villain briefly for that moment. I was like, yeah, the minute he started hurting cats. And I had to admire the somersault kick where he kicked him when he was on the chains. He did that somersault. I was like, huh. I don't think it would work that way, but impressive. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. Like, this is just yet another thing that the movie taught me. I didn't know that mullets and earrings were a thing in the 1600s.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
That was a very nice little piercing he had.
Well, maybe it wasn't a mullet. Maybe that's just how he was balding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, see? See?
I see. Okay.
I do have a question about the, also, just the whole Marion storyline. I know that he did. Obviously, he murdered her. I get that.
Yeah.
But I actually wrote down in the very beginning, I was like, so in reality, which of these old bastards is secretly coveting the man's wife and land while he's tied up in there? And then he mentioned Mary, and I'm like, it was you. Okay. I kind of wanted to expand on her story, just like was it just like he's, because he even like mentions to, which by the way, lots of slut shaming. He even mentions. It's going like, why do you paint your face? It's like, if Marion has like, Mary would never do. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Chill.
You look like a painted whore.
I mean, I love the actors, but he was yet another dick. Just like comes in, smacks a bitch.
I mean.
Then he's like, but I need you. Like, okie dokie.
Yeah, the only nice guy got his tongue bitten out. And I mean, and I appreciated his very, like, you know, calm defense in a bathrobe when she carried some sort of weapon. I have no idea what she was holding when the glass broke. I even wrote that down, like, is that a hair curler? What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, better than unarmed man in bathrobe, but still.
Is that a dildo?
It was like long and like thin at the top. And I'm like, what the fuck is that thing she's
it's
holding?
It's a double-sided dildo.
Oh, boy.
For the ultimate game of roulette.
Well, even she was like awful, like just the very beginning when she was her lipstick and in the rear, and she just almost ran over an old lady. I'm like, yes, the OG cell phone of the 80s and 90s.
I've seen women
and then
put
she's
makeup
like
on
honking
the car.
Her horn.
Yes.
Yeah, she's like.
I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was saying I've seen women put like makeup on in the car because they're in a rush. They couldn't do it at home. But the way she was with her lipstick, I was expecting her to just paint her face like a clown. Like, that was not the steadiest.
Yeah, no, that was extra heavy.
That was just,
that
like,
was extra
carefree.
Heavy there. I mean, I've seen somebody, like, do, like, the Aquanet spray in their car.
Oh, God,
I was driving, and I'm like, oh, gotta get away from you as fast as fucking possible. and another thing she said when the police come and get her. And they're talking about how your roommate was gay, and she goes, "He's gay. He's not like dealing like little boys.
No,
like,
it's
he's gay. He's not queer." And I'm like,
"Yeah.
What do you think is the difference here, lady?
Big difference.
Yeah.
Big. I was like, what? Oh, please tell me what the difference is. I really want to know what you define as the difference.
Yeah. When they went on from that scene, I was like, no. Go back. I want to hear this.
Yeah. There's something about the 80s. I don't think I remember what. Terminology, so please enlighten me.
It was just so, it was so damn bizarre. It's like, okay, so he doesn't go to glory holes looking for kids, but you're saying he's gay, not queer? It's like, is that like saying, like, you're funny or not funny, haha? It's like, you're gay, but you're not queer. It's like, you're not weird, you're just, you like dick, but you don't like to wear a hat like a clown when you have dick.
That would be a fun queer.
Yeah.
You, sir, are queer. not gay, but I read this article that talked a little bit about it and how they treat like homosexuality in the context of the late 80s and, you know, in this movie. And, you know, they were also talking about how back in the late 80s, like even the fucking, I think it was the New York Times had a story about how the gay men as a culture were getting their right ear pierced with just one right ear pierced. And oh God, so they were started. Like,
yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. I've been hearing that for ages.
And so like they were talking about like, well, you know, in the movie, it's Julian Sands has his like left ear, but were they trying to go for something with that? And does it say anything? The fact that like, she, according to her, there's gay and then there's bad gay, there's queer. And are they trying to say that he's the bad kind of gay? Like, is he like her idea of queer?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no clue. All I'm thinking is, wow, this is also just around the tail end of the 80s AIDS crisis moving into the 90s. Yeah. Just like, oh, yeah. God. that I had to like pause and go like, wait, what the fuck does that mean?
Honestly, well, the only...
And I guess it is kind of important to note that that in the original version, the writer David Twohy, mm-hmm. Twohy, I don't know how to pronounce it. He said, quote, I spent, if not wasted, a good 6 to 8 weeks trying to make the warlock somebody who was persecuted during the witch craze of the 17th century and came forward to this time and experienced much of the same persecution here for other reasons.
Yeah.
So it makes one wonder, like, is it, was he originally intending for him to be persecuted because he was... her, what she was saying is queer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They kind of did the same and actually got, well, they didn't get in trouble for it, even though it was like right in your face if you look at it. But they did the same thing with Fright Night, where there is a lot of gay in that, but they just didn't say it, but it is very much there. And they wanted to have a lot more overtly, but they were told, no, we don't want gay in our vampire movie. It's like, too bad.
And then Interview with the Vampire came out and was like,
this is Anne Rice writes Interview with the Vampire.
But yeah, when they
said hello.
When they said the whole he's gay, not queer thing, it's like the first thing that popped in my mind, because me and Linda had a wonderful childhood, was the gay worker in the mall from Mannequin.
And just yes.
The very flamboyant.
It was from Designing Women.
Yeah. And just that very, this is what gay is for us in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it in Jeffrey when he lands a role as the, was it the gay roommate or the gay apartment owner?
Yeah.
And they have him, of course, in his bathrobe and he's clutching his cat and he's like, oh my. I was like, yeah, that's very like 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
Like, this is a gay man.
How flamboyant can we get them, basically?
Yeah. But, while I'm at it, the writer David Twohy, whatever, he wrote and directed all of the movies in the Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh.
And he also wrote Waterworld.
Oh.
And his first screenplay was for Critters 2.
Oh.
Thank you.
I'm just measuring the interest in Donnie's voice. Oh.
It's like you kind of you had me sympathizing, and then you had me elated.
Well, and in those, like the Chronicles of Riddick, and even in Critters 2, he does like play a little bit with gender with some of the characters. True. So I don't know. Just food for thought.
Yep.
But I guess while I'm at it, Steve Miner, the director, also directed both Friday the 13th Part 2 mm-hmm. and Part 3. Mm-hmm. He also directed House, the movie, not the show.
Because really?
Fucking love House. Like, Donnie and I, when we were kids, we watched House and House 2. It was fucking great.
Very.
Fucking great. He also directed 9 episodes of The Wonder Years, as well as a bunch of single episodes of, it seems like a lot of, well, maybe not a lot, but a few, like, CW shows, like, and he did Smallville, Felicity, Psych, Eureka, also love Eureka, and Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
So, yeah, Steve Miner.
Interesting.
Of minor interest.
I was looking up House because I've never seen it. I was going like, what is she talking about? Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Unlike I don't
you
know.
Guys, I didn't have a free to watch what I wanted childhood. Yeah, yeah.
Look, we turned out just fine.
Honestly, House is one of those I still use today as a intro to horror films for people because it's comedy, it's horror, but the horror that's in it is very lighthearted. It's not.
We're talking about the Japanese version, right?
Oh God, no! That movie's amazing as it is. I mean, okay, you have a severed head chomping a lady's butt. You have a cat.
I still haven't seen
it. Beautiful.
Okay, because all I'm finding is the Japanese version, so I'm just like, okay, I'd watch this.
You might have better luck looking up Steve Miner.
Probably,
or just House 1980 something.
Oh, 1980. Yeah, I'm looking at 1977. I mean, it looks like, at least from the Japanese standpoint, it has like a very similar feel as Happiness of the Katakuris, which I absolutely love.
It's that, very much in the same vein.
That movie was genius.
Yeah.
So,
anyways,
back to Warlock.
Can we get some
Carlo,
Morlock on that Warlock? Huh? Can we get some Morlock on that Warlock?
Well, that's all we have time for today. I was telling Carlo last night that I really need to start barging into other people's houses shouting, "Tell me your woes!" I liked his style.
I mean, that was pretty great. Like, you have been bewitched. There was a knock upon your home.
Tell me your woes.
I'm just
going to start doing that in people's offices at my work.
I mean, it's better than walking up and saying, like, was your child unbaptized? I know he just died, but was your child unbaptized? By the way, I was starting to feel really, really, like, persecuted just watching this. And it's like, yes, an unbaptized male child. Like, looking at my two kids, I'm like,
Well, and like she tells him, like, no, his daddy wouldn't let him be, and then she just walks off.
Yeah,
you don't want to know a little bit more about why he was asking that? Like, no, you're good, you're okay.
Like, hey, neighbor, is your son baptized by chance?
You just leave it as fuck off. It would have been my response. My child's dead.
And I gotta say, this happens a lot when we do movies like this, when we talk about them together. But I did think about Carlo in this movie again. And this is because this is my favorite part, even as a kid. I loved it. When talking about the farmhouse where the Warlock is, as soon as he goes flying out, and Redfern or Giles goes and throws the weather vane into his back, and you see him just slowly fall to the ground, flailing. It's like the way he was flailing so slowly just made me think of Carlo going,
Why?
Because he's done that. I wanted the answer to this too.
Because he's done that before.
What?
I am not going to recall specifics, damn you. But he's been reenacting shit he talks about from movies.
Oh,
he does the same thing our dad used to do, where he just does these really slow, exaggerated, whoa.
I was just thinking like, should I be offended on his behalf?
I'm telling you, your husband is a witch.
Did you stab him with a weather vane?
Your husband
Carla,
is a bruja.
You would tell me if Donnie stabbed you with a weather vane, right?
I just thought that he was saying that Carla has a weird way of falling, and he likes to go really slow and go, whoa.
I mean, that is true. He does defy gravity when he falls.
Every time we go over, like, this is why we never visit, because Donnie runs up and pushes him over.
Well, I'm sorry, Linda. When I come to your house and your cats are sweating at midday and all the milk has turned sour, I mean, I know the signs, Linda, and you do too. Come on.
Linda, tell me your woes!
That's why you didn't want me watching your house again, because the last time I did, I put a big sign on the back sign. I told you, your home is bewitched.
God damn it. We just had the house painted. God damn it, Donnie.
The HOA did not approve.
Stop drawing fucking sigils on the goddamn house.
Yeah, speaking of, would that be a good time to take a little breaky poo?
Oh yeah, let's hear from people who actually know how to keep a podcast short.
Tired of the same old podcasts every week? When you're ready for something different, come give us a shot.
Greetings, we're technically a conversation, a podcast for curious people by curious people.
Every week, we take turns sharing a new topic, and the other host has no idea what the topic will be.
Our topics are all over the place, from light and funny to dark and sometimes spooky.
We've covered everything from true crime, historical events and people, pop culture icons, the supernatural and occult.
I like that.
And legends and folklore.
My favorite. We're like the Dollar Tree stuff you should know.
Except completely different. No matter what the topic is, we try to make the episodes funny.
Yeah, you may not want to advertise that. Our jokes aren't very good.
What are you talking about? My jokes are fantastic.
Hey, I get paid to laugh either way.
Wait, you get paid?
Check us out at technicallyaconversation.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to the 11 and a half people that listen to us on Google Podcasts. Wait, you said you were getting paid?
And we're back.
Are we?
Oh, got the giggles out, so we're okay.
For now.
Did we?
Can I also ask something? As somebody who was born in the 80s but didn't experience it, were the police this ineffectual as the police here were?
In California,
Okay. Honestly, yeah. Somebody else who didn't live in California, I like that. Not only first off, did they actually taser him and not just shoot him? I was like, that's impressive. Congratulations.
I was going to say, yes, that's like the best policing I've seen. The man had a whip and they didn't shoot him. They just tased him.
But then they
not only did he have a whip, but he cracked his whip at them.
Yeah.
I know he gave enough time to actually like pull a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was telling Carlos, like, you know, if it were a black guy, like,
yes. No, we already know the answer to that. Yes. There's enough video evidence for that. Yes.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah, it would be a short movie.
They left her alone at a crime scene.
Yes. Yes.
to go and take her stuff. It's like, isn't anything in that house evidence?
Everything, you especially know? When you see the blood all over the kitchen on the ceilings and walls. Like, just take your time, whatevs.
Yeah, go get your stuff, clean out everything that's yours. Make sure you take everything that's yours.
Everything that's nylon, everything that's neon.
Everything tacky, which reminds me. Okay, so, listeners, if you haven't watched Warlock, you definitely should. It's entertaining, and Julian Sands, I mean, come on, what more do you want? But it somewhere near the beginning, Julian Sands' character takes her the main female character's Cassandra with a K, takes her bracelet, her really tacky bracelet, and that I think had like
We need to talk about that, because not only did her bracelet have globes, she had globe earrings too.
Like, yeah,
that was honestly the least the thing that I found the least offensive of the wardrobe she was pulling apart as she was packing.
Yeah,
because honestly, that bracelet, I was like, okay, tacky, a little bulky, not my style. But you know, when she pulled out all that tulle and vinyl, like almost like Romy and Michelle's dresses from the 80s. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's like fluffy pink dress. I'm going to need this. But I was telling Carlo, I was like, I was a kid when we watched this. I was like maybe 9 or 10. And even then, I thought her fashion was really tacky. And I was like, I was a kid. I should have been like, oh, that's so cool.
You know? Like, no. No.
But later on, when she catches up with him, she starts nailing these nails in his footprints, which like he could feel. And His hand just like dangles over the side in the train, and he's like wearing the tacky ass bracelet. And I thought, like, wait, he's got like some great style. Why would he, like,
maybe he's like Hoggle, and he's like, it's mine. What's this made of? Plastic. Ooh.
Wearing that bracelet was a choice.
Okay? Well, he had a ring. He needed a bracelet.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, 3 or 4 pieces away from a complete jewelry set. He needed a necklace, a good pair of earrings, and maybe a tiara. Yeah,
sometimes best stats are not in the best looking pieces of armor. This is RPGs, Linda. This happens. But I would like to also mention, this movie did give us the best way to keep track of Linda when she was little. If you ever wanted to go looking for her, you just had to drive a nail into the dirt wherever she walked. And that let you know where she was.
I don't know if it's like a tracking device. You just hear this loud scream somewhere.
Yeah, I think Linda still has her thumb shackles somewhere.
You got used to them after a while.
Yeah. Which
well,
is
you know how to do those cool somersault backflips, you know?
It's, yeah.
You know how to travel.
That was the best summer ever.
Although I do have back
ever.
Problems now.
Just going down there like a wheel, as a backflipping down the street.
But that's something else.
Linda, caught again.
That's something else this movie gave me and Linda, though, was the pick up the blessed hammer. It's like, oh, it's blessed.
Oh, it's actually quite a... I was actually going to look up the Mennonite faith, like, back.
Do they bless hammers?
It's like Amish Mennonite.
It did give us another great line, though. I have to share it. I got the sound clip.
Our interest lies in stopping those who would see all good falter. It lies in stopping the powers of misrule from coming of age. It lies in finding that damned book and thwarting a vile beast of a man who shall not rest until God himself is thrown down and all of creation becomes Satan's black hell besmeared farting hole.
I mean, that is what I call my toilet, but yeah.
The black besmeared farting hole.
I feel like they had like a limit on how many like curse words they could use before MPAA gave them like a higher rating, and so that's why he's just into farting.
Well, in if that was the case, I know in Warlock 2, they got their rating just from mostly just being a horny movie.
Yeah,
there
was a lot of nudity. But I also want to know more about that the family at that freaking farmhouse, especially when the dad is like, you know these signs, you've seen them. It's like, more of your backstory, please. How many fucking witches have you all had to deal with in the past?
Like, wait, no, I want to hear
like,
this.
Is this like a Lost Boys thing where it's like, the only thing I can ever stand about Santa Cruz is all the damn vampires.
Goddamn vampire. R.I.P. Ed Herman.
Oh.
See, years later, he takes out the Jeepers Creepers monster.
Be eating you?
I mean, I just recently rewatched it.
They gave that priest at least a bit more understanding of how he knows this. Like, oh, well, yes, yeah, some of the clergy in here know this, not just me. It's like, okay, simplest backstory. But yeah, they gave no reference to, like, their very, very Mennonite father. And it's like, the son clearly did not follow in his footsteps because, he looked blankly at his dad going like,
That's my crazy Amish dad.
No Mennonite. You got to get it right. Ah, crap. We forgot to lock the barn.
All those goddamn witches.
He just spends his time up there singing and whittling all about these witches.
I mean, you got to see the second one after that comment because that's pretty much all that's in the second movie. Oh, sorry.
Yay, I wrote the movie without seeing it.
It is the most religious film. Yes, there are druids, but it is like religion town where even the jock bully is like, you're a Satanist and all of us hate you. You're going to burn in hell.
It's like, was this around the time of the Satanic Panic then?
This was like early 90s. The sequel came out, I think, 93.
It would have. The Satanic Panic was the 90s, right? There was a couple, and maybe like...
Well, we had the cult, then we had the Satanic Panic, and it's kind of just like the soda streams. It's been around forever. It just kind of pops up now and then again.
Well, it's coming back around. About, let's be fair. It's coming back around.
Yeah.
Luckily, not all the preschool stories with the Satanic Panic, but
the McCarthy like panic of it. More.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Anyways. Yeah, I was this movie, like I said, I was very entertained by this. I was entertained by the whole graveyard scene too, just because not only the moving the graves, which all I was thinking was, you move the stock to the graveside, but not the bodies.
And let's take time to appreciate the fact that they let that man dressed in furs take a weather vane onto an airplane.
Yes. It was a different time. It was a family heirloom.
I know, but also like... I
mean, somebody was smoking on the plane, okay? That's how far back this movie went.
That's true. And for me and Linda, I'm still surprised that Julian Sands didn't do the whole Jekyll and Hyde together again thing where he was flying on top of the plane, like resting against the back veil.
There's something on the wing. There's a warlock on the wing.
I think I got them mixed up in my head because I was telling Carla, I was like, oh, just wait. I fucking love this. And
you seriously thought that Julian Sands was going to say the only way to fly.
No, but I was expecting him to be hanging out on top of the plane. Because he could fly, right? So.
With his little arm in front of his face protecting himself. Jeez.
But then he was just with the luggage. And I was like, God damn it. He was just
playing with magic fire in the luggage.
Yeah, what was he eating? I was trying to I couldn't figure that out.
It was more the baby fat.
It was more the baby. Okay, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, got it. Okay.
A minute there, I thought you said the baby batter.
I mean, warlocks be warlocks.
I was just imagining him like finding like random food in people's luggage and just stealing it.
Stealing random jewelry.
Well, I guess little Annie isn't getting her cookies from grandma.
That would have been great if the next time they see him, he's got fur coats on and two hats.
Walks out of the cargo hold like a pimp.
Privy thy, look at my clothing.
I gotta also give respect to both of them on how well adjusted they were to the time change. It's like, this is normal. Yeah, like no questions about the lights or anything. Hocus Pocus, where at least they spent some part of the movie going like, it is a road.
Yeah, and he was so cool about like seeing a truck headed toward them too. He's like, oh, that's weird.
Oh yeah, and even like do they all drive on certain sides of the road and everything? Like,
yes.
Like, damn, dude.
I missed my opportunity, Jane, when you were going to introduce yourself. I was going to ask Donnie, like, does she not remind you of someone? The hair, the face, the breasts.
Oh, my.
Someone we both knew. Oh, but yeah, I think that this whole movie, like, while I do, I love it. I enjoy it. Carlo didn't think it aged that well, but
I think a lot of the religious stuff really got to me. It almost read like a more gory version of a Christian Hell House in movie form, where it's like, and this is what happens when you're not baptized, and this is what happens at church. It's like, oh, give it a rest. My God.
I was thinking more of the, oh, what is that your hand is in? Oh, that's a pile of eyeballs. Like, it's great.
No, I'm thinking like those hell houses that some of those really out there churches set up.
Sinners repent.
Yeah, we're like, they like did like, you know, like, this is what it looks like when you have an abortion and stuff. Yeah. Or, like, all that weird bullshit that like was popular was talked about for a while. Like, it kind of read like that to me, where it's like, are you trying to make me feel bad for not being Christian right now?
Because it's working.
No, because you're making me root for the villain. Up until he murdered the child, I was like, I just don't care.
I mean, well, even after he murdered the child, I was kind of like, he's still hot.
I have a soft spot for, you know, children and pets or cats. So it's like, don't kill kids. Don't kill animals.
Yeah. You know, cats. The animals are when, like, I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Dog dies. Nope. Fuck this movie.
No, really. It's fuck the person who killed that dog.
Well, if it's okay with you guys, I have a little bit on Julian Sands.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. Born Julian Richard Morley Sands, the third of four boys in Otley, West Yorkshire, in 1958. He actually was born 3 days and 6 years before our national treasure, Nicolas Cage. He studied acting at Lord Wandsworth College in Hampshire, which I love because Lord Wandsworth just sounds like it should be a character in Harry Potter. like one of the heads of the houses. I don't know.
Lord Wandsworth.
Yes, exactly.
House ghost.
He died when a broom accidentally went all the way up his ass.
I died of autoerotic asphyxiation. Do you know what that is?
But in his interview for Stony Brook University, Five Questions With series, they asked him how did college shape your understanding of the world? He said he grew up in a rural community in the north of England with four brothers and went to an all boys boarding school. And he claims that the biggest factor of going off to London for drama school in college when he was 18 was girls. He said, quote, "The work we did at drama school, the scene work there, the training, the preparation to have to encounter female energy was just a wonderful thing and still inspires me and keeps me interested in the world in which I'm lucky enough to live."
Milkers.
But from all accounts, it just sounds like he really genuinely was just a really humble and charming guy who was just friendly, and he loved he was a mountaineer. Dolphins? He loved mountain climbing. Yeah, he loved hiking, walking. But Gabriel Byrne for The Guardian said, by the way, he starred with Julian Sands in Ken Russell's film Gothic, which we covered was it Videorama or was it?
Yeah, yes.
Or no, it was, I think it was Cage's Kiss, I think. But since we were, we, it was a bonus episode. But he played Byron while Sans played Shelley. He said, so Gabriel Byrne wrote this article for The Guardian, and he said, Julian was like the boy in class who made you laugh with inky fingers and mischief, with spiders and matchboxes and fart noise in maths class. And he said that Julian was the golden-haired glamour boy destined, everyone said, to be a Hollywood heartthrob. That hair, the silk and voice, the razor blade cheekbones. But that was not what Julian wanted. Like Shelley, he craved distant fields and mighty rivers to find pleasure in the pathless woods, rapture in the lonely shore, as Byron said, to seek out the exotic and the strange, to escape being branded, having his identity fashioned by strangers who tell him, be a good boy, we will tell you who you are. And finally, he said in our last correspondence, he wrote this, most mountaineers understand that the true limit is within. The high point on a peak is simply that, but the experience of the approach, the face or the ridge up and down is where true fulfillment is found. I was like, like, so, like, he just, like I said, but on all accounts, he sounds just like a genuinely, like, yeah, like, a poet at heart and someone who genuinely loved life. And
he sounds like experiencing he sounds like a dude. I mean, he sounds like a great dude. That's the thing. It's like, I was like, oh, this is like a guy that you could actually sit down and just like shoot the shit with. Yeah. Shoot the shit with.
Yeah, exactly. And oh God, I feel bad because I don't have her name written down, but the one of the actresses from Yellow Jackets was in Rose Red with him, and she was just talking about what a lovely person he was, and just talking about how he found out that she'd never been to the opera, so he took her out to the opera and like giggled when she yawned, and like it just sounded like he was like a really great dude on all accounts. And he, in that Five Questions With series, he listed Mike Figgis as a great mentor of his. Figgis! And we did cover Mike Figgis because he was in numerous movies from Mike Figgis, the director, and including Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage, which is why we covered it for the bonus episode.
Yeah.
But Mike Figgis said, we shot Hotel on the Lido of Venice out of season. Everything was closed except the hotel and restaurant we'd taken over, and Julian became, in a sense, the entertainment. He was very funny and loved to be outrageous. We'd all go to dinner, he'd leave early, and then there'd be some prank once we arrived back at the hotel. Always a little bit dark. I can't really get into specifics, but he liked to challenge the prudishness of hipster actors. He had an uncanny knack, like a heat-seeking missile, of focusing on someone and finding out exactly what their hang-ups were. But he also said that he was truly subversive and selfless. A lot of the films we made were really low budget, so he couldn't have been paid much. He didn't complain and even helped move equipment. He was like Albert Finney, never saw the films, was just interested in the process. He was a great listener and so collaborative. I can't remember a single incident where Julian was a problem. He was always the solution.
That sounds like something he would tell you in bed.
He did.
I'm not the problem. I'm the solution. Now here's my heat-seeking missile.
What are your woes?
This is such a warm hug, Mr. Sands. Don't worry, you are not even hugging anymore. We're now naked in bed.
Oh my God.
I know.
Magic.
You are now carrying you my are the child. Solution.
You're welcome.
But I don't even have a womb. Watch your That's Donnie's response. I'm just filling it for you.
I feel so much
We tried and
now.
We tried and it finally happened.
Wait. I don't need my glasses. My sight. It's a miracle. So, yeah.
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 Yeah. It sucks.
It was sad. It's always sad when a hiker goes missing, especially like from what I was reading, just speaking as somebody who has done, fairly difficult, treacherous hikes. It seems like he did everything right when it comes to you tell people where you're going. Like, they knew where to look.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, probably the biggest one was hiking in winter is always a little bit more treacherous, just because it's winter. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, that's just how we lose somebody, because it's depressing. You know, you go to see these amazing, great things.
That he was like, he basically, you know, we all can only hope that it was fast and painless, but he did go out doing something he loved, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, there's a multitude of different reasons as to how it'll happen. And like, you can hope it is, you know, the biggest fear is obviously he got lost, and that's always like the worst thing that could always happen, because it's just upset. It's upsetting. So, but yeah, this is an interesting movie, by the way, to introduce me to. Oh my God. I mean, I still, like, I mean, the one thing I just want to say is I can't get over the graveyard scene, just when she's having to pull the pages up off the body. Because my only thought process was, whose fucking body is that? Because if he's in the future, seriously, that was an actual thing. When first she was like, Giles is a fine name. And then afterwards she's like, look, it may not be you. I'm like, thank you. That's the part that actually should be talked about. Not that he's potentially dead, because no, he's quite alive. And maybe he's stuck in the future for all you know. It's like, no, it's who's buried there.
Well, and you know, you don't have to see Warlock to know how amazing Julian Sands is. He was also notably in A Room with a View, Naked Lunch.
Yeah.
As I said, Leaving Las Vegas. And he was in one of the episodes of Into the Dark series. That was fun. But he's just like, I don't know. It seemed like by all rights, he could have been, and if you're talking about the odds, he probably should have ended up being just this, like, pompous, beautiful asshole. But he didn't. He remained humble, and he appreciated life, nature, and art. And, Mike Figgis said that he was surrounded by books, an avid reader, a lover of music and culture. His house in Hollywood was a calm place filled with beautiful furnishings from which he could venture forth and be as bold and experimental as he wanted. But it just sounds like he was just a very lovely person who enjoyed life and didn't want to be put in a box. You could see boxing Helena.
I have a vision now of, like, entering his home and you find Julian Sands and, like, a swing in his living room. And he's like, hello, welcome to the home.
I'm fancy whimsical, a dangle. You see? Oh, but yeah. R.I.P. Julian Sands. GG.
I can forgive him for his vampire movie. What?
What was the movie called? Because I don't know this.
Now he could truly rest in peace. Thank you, Donnie.
I would bring a copy of Tale of a Vampire and put it on his grave and just bow my head.
You're at peace now.
Yes. Wait, did you hear that? I just heard.
Trust me, until you've seen that movie, you don't know suffering.
One second, I'm looking to see where I can watch it. I will judge this for myself. I don't really want to pay for it.
Or you could watch
this
Sun Also Rises, Married Man, The Killing Field.
I know, but you know me in some bad movies. I
a bunch of other things.
Tomorrow Man. But like Linda said, you don't have to see this to know how amazing he is, but you can watch part two, at least the first 15 minutes, to see what amazement was.
Yes, yes.
His danger.
Also, his danger. His black ooze danger. His
not so little sands.
Well-sized sands.
It's pretty okay. It's got some heft to it.
It's a sack of sand.
Look, I can make it look like a wristwatch.
I forgot that scene.
How did you have the time?
Oh, so unfortunately he didn't win, but he was nominated in 1991 for the Best Actor Award for Fangoria Chainsaw Awards.
Oh.
And in 2012, he was the winner for the Special Jury Award from the International Film Festival for Peace, Inspiration, and Equality.
Ooh.
For The Maiden and the Princess.
Ooh.
But yeah, I honestly think he should have received much more. But I mean, that's what we're doing here. So
that's why we're doing God's work here.
Or Satan's work. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, according to this, we're not good at doing God's work. I need to watch my children more often, clearly.
Johnny is unbaptized.
I mean, it's true. I am sweet and cuddly like a little child, but no.
Remember that one guy that we met in the playground that one time?
And
You asked him, like, how do you fly? Where's your broomstick?
Yeah, and he was just laughing as we walked away.
But Donnie never did learn about the broomstick.
Unless it's a repressed memory.
But that's a story for another time.
That's a story for my therapist.
Well, I suppose this is the time where I say, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bed Knobs and Broomflicks, especially on Apple Podcasts, because it helps other people find us. And remember, you can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Okay, that's a lie. Like, I really need to get my ass in gear with the social medias, but you can find us on Twitter, at least, at Broomflix.
To be fair, and Twitter's becoming kind of a nightmare to deal with. Like, I've logged in, like, a couple times, and it's like, how the fuck are all these tweets coming at my account? It's like random stuff. And then I found out another podcast was even complaining about the same thing. Like, we're getting a weird message thing from something called, like, I think it was, like, called Pop Craze. It's like, okay, good. I'm not the only one who's getting like just random stuff. Clearly, Elon thinks, hey, this is what you should see. Sorry, that's my rant on Twitter.
What you meant to say was that it has become a black, hell besmeared farting hole.
Yes. Farting doesn't do it justice. Farting would still be usable.
Truth. You can also write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com or check out our show at bedknobsandbroomflicks.com or cageskiss.com/broomflicks or just cageskiss.com. I think there have been issues with the link for Bedknobs and Broomflicks, so I got to look into that today. But anyway, you could also check out Videorama and Cage's Kiss there. And last but not least, if you'd like to help support us and a local bookstore while purchasing a book or movie, please purchase through our affiliate page at bookshop.org/shop/broomflicks. That's B-R-O-O-M-F-L-I-C-K-S. And I'd like to give another shout out to our friends at Technically a Conversation. Definitely check them out. It's an amazing podcast. And as I've mentioned before, they somehow keep them nice and like short. And we wouldn't even know how to start with that. So not our way. But also tomorrow we shall be recording the latest episode for Cage's Kiss or we'll be covering Renfield. Jane, where can the people find you?
Well, you can find me not baptizing my children, but enjoying the final weeks.
You're playing with fire.
I know. Clearly, some random warlock is going to walk up to my son and just say, like, hey, would you like to learn how to fly? And hopefully all just the stranger danger shit that I've ever taught him is basically like, no. And he'll
tell
do what
your
he always
children
says.
Never to speak to beautiful men.
Hey, according to my oldest, he'll just punch people in the balls if they try to do
anything, so. I mean, it works.
That sounds like him, yeah.
It does sound like him, trust me.
I'm going to steal your child someday.
You're going to be punching the balls. Or he also knows the boob hurts, too. He knows that. He's learned that. He's like, I'll punch you. Okay, hon. Good defense. Still drop you. But yes, enjoying the final weeks of my maternity leave. Yay.
Wahoo.
More paid maternity leave. We live in Wahoo. A great state.
Yay. Yay. And Dawn, Lynn. You got any butt plugs?
Johnny stopped talking to Linda after this, and we had to cut the podcast short.
I live under
that's
the
actually
bus
we should
upon
just
which
end.
Linda runs me over. Well, I save more dick by giving it CPR, and I give more head than a hoodie. But other than that, you can find me on Unreal Goals on Twitter. I also am on the Cage's Kiss with the Lindar and the Adron R. And I also am going to be gearing up for 3 whole freaking months of reviews coming up for Donnie's Reviews, which I will be doing coming, goddamn. Yeah, in a couple months. We're getting ready for October, November, and December, each one with a theme. Otherwise, you can find me selling lard at playgrounds and just seeing who wants to fly.
Donnie likes to hang out with a luggage and airplane, yes, roasting people's food.
Yes, I do.
He had
do.
To stop doing that when they stopped feeding in air to the luggage compartments, though. it just started getting sad.
It just got a little sad when I started coming out with all the luggage and people tried claiming me.
Hello?
I'm waiting for my parents to claim me still.
You look nice.
I've been riding this belt for the last 3 years.
Sir, let go of my luggage.
But it's all I have.
But I am part of your luggage.
Is that what I am to you, luggage?
Tries to sneak into one of the animal carriers. Woof. Woof, woof, see? Woof.
Woof, I say. And such.
For et cetera, et cetera.
I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Redwire Blackwire for allowing us to use their song Compass.
Oh.
And next episode, we'll be going back to Sabrina, wrapping up the end of the second season. And yeah, can't wait for the next one because I think Linda's really going to enjoy it.
Oh.
Yeah, buddy. And until then, what's that got to do with my knob?
I know thy knob!
What knob? What are your troublesome knobs?
You are benobbed!